This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1992. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 25th, Albania, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Denmark, Guam, Kashmir, Korea North, Mexico, North America, Norway, Peru, Philippines, Sikkim, Spain, Tibet, Ukraine, USA, Vatican, Nobles Car Radios, A Ton of Cement, and The Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Since at least July 20th, I've noticed the Albanian relays of China Radio International to North America missing. Between midnight and 04 UT, they had been scheduled on 9570 and 6020. But we still have the relay via Cuba on 9580 and later 9790. Wolfgang Büschel checked and thinks they're off for a summer maintenance period temporarily, as other transmissions as early as 23 UT have also been missing. Aussie Tim Gaynor of Unique Radio, our affiliate in New South Wales, says he has stopped broadcasting on Fridays, and after 0730 UT, all transmissions are on 3210 USB because of the low winter MUFs, still on 5045 when on the air before that hour. So that means all the World of Radio broadcasts via Unique Radio are on 3210. Alternate Saturdays, not including the 27th of July at 1000, then on Mondays at 0930 and again at 1130 UT, and Tuesdays, two separate episodes starting at 0800. His own music program, Sounds of Your Life, is also transmitted via WINB in Pennsylvania, rather more audible for us. He says Tim takes you through a journey of great tunes from the 50s through the 80s and some beyond. The current times for that on 9265 are Tuesday at 21 to 2130 UT, Friday at 18 to 19, a full hour, and Saturday at 1730 until 1800. A major Brazilian medium wave station is being closed down by the Bolsonaro government. Alan Pennington forwards a story from BrasilDeFato.com.br dated July 5th. It's Radio MECAM, which was founded in 1923. It was almost the first radio station in the country. It has been extinguished by the Brazilian communications broadcaster EBC as part of changes demanded by the government of Jair Bolsonaro. It'll be turned off July 31st, as reported by Lauro Jardim's column in O Globo. At that time, however, the closure had not been confirmed officially nor communicated to the station's employees, which was founded with the name Radio Sociedade and donated in 1936 to the federal government. MEC stands for Music, Education, and Culture. Based in Rio de Janeiro, on its website it claims to have about 50,000 records and productions. Programming is totally focused on the diffusion of Brazilian culture, including all the diversity of music, such as choro, regional, instrumental, and concert. It also has programs dedicated to literature, cinema, dramaturgy, and the arts as a whole. It's on 800 kHz from Rio de Janeiro with 100 kilowatts day and night, and also a low-power transmitter on the same frequency in Brasilia with 10 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night, according to WRTH. Well, anyway, its absence should make it easier for southern Brazilians to hear Radio Transmundial all the way from Bonaire. I finally had some FMDX sporadic-y from Canada this summer, July 20th after 19 UT, a few stations from northern Ontario and southwestern Quebec, that is, North Bay and the Rouyn-Noranda area, as well as a bunch of closer FMs in Michigan. Details already published in my logs and in the next DX Listening Digest, number 19-30, via worldofradio.com. I also had something on 87.9, not an official FM band frequency, suspected of being a pirate, but probably not the one in this story from CBC. Thanks to Gerald T. Pollard and Eric Flodane, it's headlined THC Slushies, Pirate Radio and the Cannabis-Driven Boom in a Mohawk Community. Driving down Highway 401 in southern Ontario with the FM dial to 87.9, 1990s-era rap music fades into an ad offering a free joint with every purchase over $20 from the Pot Shop, that is SHOPPE. 9 months after cannabis became legal in Canada, we visit the Mohawk community of Tiendanaga, where dozens of stores are operating. The transmission tower for the station, Real People's Radio, stands over a small shack that was once the second cannabis store to open in Tiendanaga, Mohawk Territory, 200 kilometers east of Toronto. It's now the broadcasting studio for a pirate radio station that lives on the edge of the radio dial and also streams online. I'd better spell that name, Tiendanaga. On July 22nd and 23rd, Ron Howard in California was hearing at least carriers, perhaps some audio, on 7262 and 7266. At 1222 UT, July 24th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany confirms both of those are spurs out of PBS Nemengu, Inner Mongolia, China, originally on 7270. But that frequency itself was totally distorted. And with accompanying spurs at 4 kilohertz intervals, 7262, 6674, and 78. On July 20th, before and after 02 UT, Richard Langley in New Brunswick and I were hearing Radio Progreso Cuba back on the air. It had been missing for about a month, 4765. Presumably resuming its limited schedule of only midnight 30 until 04 UT. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. This time, let's focus on a harmonic 12,200 kHz. The English service on 6100 shows up here late at night. July 23rd at 06:15, it was 10 over 9 at peaks, while the fundamental was 20 to 30 over 9, but the 25-meter band itself was virtually dead. And also on July 25th, I could still detect 12,200, but not nearly as strong. It all depends on propagation. Happy 26th of July to the Cuban commies with our parody of their slogan, Patria o Suerte Pensaremos. Mick Dummage in Alberta reports hearing World Music Radio, the low-power station in Denmark, on 15805, fading in and out at 2022 UT, Saturday, July 20th. And Stig Hartvig Nielsen, operator of WMR, replied that the 19-meter band was still open, so WMR was being well heard in northern Scandinavia, and also into eastern and western North America. So he was going to leave the 15805 transmitter on the air all night until 20 UT on Sunday. And Mick says he then got an EQSL within 12 hours. KTWR Guam was supposedly starting some special DRM transmissions July 18th, but they were not yet being heard. Then an update via Hans Johnson, Florida, from Mike Saban at KTWR, saying they're about to start regular DRM broadcasts to four different areas, one day per week to each of the areas, starting August 5th. We'll be working with the content server parameters to come up with the best compromise settings for each area. Each week we'll have different settings. They really appreciate feedback for as many weeks as possible. All programs will be in English for now, and here is the schedule, starting the week of August 5th through the end of the 819 broadcast season. On Mondays for South Asia, 11580 with 90 kilowatts at 1215 UT. All these are half an hour long. On Tuesdays to Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific on 11995, 50 kilowatts starting at 1026. On Wednesdays to China, also 11995, 50 kilowatts at 1026. And on Thursdays to Japan and Korea, 11995, 50 kilowatts at 1026. Via a remote Kiwi receiver in southern India, Dan Robinson reports hearing All India Radio Srinagar, Kashmir, 4950, between 15 and 16 UT with English programming and some commercials. That was on July 20th. Jose Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil was hearing something in Korean on 7550, July 18th between 1922 and 1940. It's confirmed as the clandestine Free North Korea Radio via Uzbekistan. Ron Howard says his audio clip matches what can be heard at their streaming site fnkradio.com. Ivo Ivanov says the revised and expanded schedule for this is 1900 to 2130 on 7550, as well as 12 to 1430 on 11510. The trouble is All India Radio is also on 7550 in DRM, totally blocking at his location Free North Korea Radio. Once I heard Canadian FMDX this summer, I had another wish for Mexico. So far, nothing from that country. But 2 days later, July 22nd, from 1755 UT, I was hearing Spanish on a number of more or less open frequencies. Very hard to identify anything, with the signals fading in and out and lots of interference, but one I'm quite sure of was a 93.1 from Guadalajara. That is its slogan, Solo Música Romántica. That is XHPI-FM. As usual, full details in my log reports and in DX Listening Digest. The Antichrist Pirate, somewhere in western USA, station YHWH, had been missing from 7470 for about a week, so we were wondering if he was about to take another long hiatus. But he came back. Well, some and even BC heard him July 25th at 0400 UT. That was via the remote receiver in Prescott Valley, Arizona, where there was an excellent signal level. Also heard directly in Arizona by Rick Barton and by me, but with a lot of local noise interference at 0402 and still going at 0529. Terry Colgan is especially interested in the low-power Norwegian station Radio Northern Star, although hearing it directly in Texas on 5895 is not very likely. But he says they have been using the ID occasionally as Radio Norway International. He says, I heard it twice on July 19th. A listener paid PAMS and JAMS for a swinging Radio Norway jingle that's also being aired, although he says he's not yet heard it, but he does listen to the station a lot via TuneIn. Info came from Sven Martinsen of RNS Broadcasting Corporation on July 20th. Welcome back to Claudio Galas in Chile, whose reports had not appeared for about 5 months. Now he reports on Peru, 5980 Radio Chasqui, July 21st at 2340 to 2350 UT, with a Bible study program produced by Radio Transmundial, TWR. Of course, 5980 is now blocked up here by the TV Marti Relay. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says FEBC Radio in the Philippines is interfering with itself, running two different transmissions in two different languages at the same time on the same frequency via two different transmitter sites. Maybe they don't know what each other is doing. We're talking about 15450 kHz at 0930 to 10 UT. The Iba site is broadcasting in Juang, while the Bokawi site is broadcasting in Minangkabau. In DX India, Joe's Jacob reports, Sikkim, All India Radio Gangtok 4835 is back on the air after some months. Poor reception, but clear signals, noted at Hyderabad at 1620 UT, July 23rd. The schedule is 01 to 05 and 1030 to 17 UT on 4835. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and the gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1992. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com, and our publication, DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Ethan Best, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. These do not necessarily need to be in U.S. dollars. They will do the conversion. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Many of us have been dissatisfied with the 3 times a week English broadcast from Spain, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 UT for half an hour, best here on 9690, because it's mostly music, with very little if any connection to Spain and hardly any news or features. Now we have this news from Alan Rowe. He says, I've been noticing for some time that the English language service has been predominantly music, with very little speech. The sole presenter has been Justin Coe. I've not heard Allison Hughes on air for some weeks, so I emailed REE and Justin Coe replied. Vis-a-vis Allison, she has been on sick leave for a number of months, but is feeling much better and will be back on the job very soon. I'll tell her you asked after her. I know she'll appreciate your interest and concern and your good wishes. Thanks for your note, and be assured that with Allison back at the English language service of REE, music will still be aired, but there won't be quite so much of it, says Justin Coe. Alan Rowe says, I wish Allison all the best and look forward to hearing her on air again very soon. You can contact both of them via English at rtve.es. As mentioned last week, PBS Sijang or Tibet has been missing from its Tibetan language frequencies. Also noted now by Art Delibere in Massachusetts. He says, I haven't heard this for about 10 days as of July 20th. 4905-4920, 6025-6130, and 7385. Not even a carrier. Are they off the air? Does anyone know why? I replied, presumed to be a summer maintenance break. Enjoy it while you can, such as not blocking India on 4920, as Joe's Jacob has pointed out. I wonder, are the Chinese language frequencies from Tibet also off the air? Not all of them anyway. Zaharias Lyangas in Greece checked this out July 20th and was hearing the Chinese service on 7240 and 7450. As for that new, much higher frequency than usual for Tibet, believed to come from there, 15745, Ivo Ivanov has been checking it in Bulgaria and says it's on some days but off other days. He was hearing it on July 21st at 0945 and 1155. The Alki schedule shows it running from midnight to 11:57. But on July 23rd, there was no signal. July 24th, it was again being heard. Walt Samaniv in Victoria, B.C., who is of Ukrainian extraction, known also as Volodya, would like to be able to hear the English broadcast of Radio Ukraine International via its only relay on WRMI, 7780 at 0230. However, that frequency provides very poor reception since it's beamed to the northeast, and he wishes RUI could be on one of the other 7 megahertz frequencies beamed toward the northwest, 7730 or 7570. But those at that time are occupied by Brother Scare. Walt says, surely a broader north or northwest azimuth makes a lot more sense to capture a larger market in North America. Who would be trying to listen in Europe in the middle of the night at 0230? I have similar regrets about World of Radio scheduling. In any event, if you really want to hear Ukraine, you can listen online. Richard Langley found the place to do it on their website, www.nrcu.gov.ua/en/, under live broadcast. He's pieced together a schedule by some spot checking, but not all definite. There are one-hour transmissions in Russian, English, German, and Romanian. The English hours starting at 01, 12, 20, and 22 UT. As of July 25th, the 500-kilowatt superstation of WBCQ remains off the air. Nothing on 9330. Alan Wiener Worldwide updated us on the situation on his show July 20th, according to a report by John Carver in Indiana. The superstation is down as they're doing some redesign on the antenna and preparing the transmitter for frequency changes. World's Last Chance insists on being able to penetrate Arab countries. They are also tweaking the computer control for the transmitter to allow smoother transitions when the antenna is turned or frequency changed. Even though the transmitter itself is water-cooled, they've found they have to add a lot more air conditioning in order to cool the transmitter cases. The superstation will be back on the air in August. They also mentioned adding another frequency to the classic WBCQ 6160. Ivo Ivanov and I noted in HFCC that frequency is indeed now registered, available 24 hours to WBCQ, the same parameters as on the other classic frequencies, 50 kilowatts at 245 degrees. However, 6165 is right next door, radio of Anacuba with much greater power, so there's likely to be a lot of interference from that for at least 6 hours every evening. And 6160 has been heard now, first reported testing in the daytime by Chris Smolinski in Maryland, 1550 UT, July 23rd, partly with Brother Scare. Evidently, this is the transmitter which had been on 9330.1 with hardly anything but Brother Scare. So will that be the case on 6160? A twit from Alan Wiener via Artie Bigley says lots of airtime is available for sale on that frequency. And yes, like the old 9330, it is slightly off frequency to the high side. I measured it on 6160.096, July 24th at 0602. Depending on how close you are, it should be interesting to compare it to another Eastern North America shortwave frequency, which runs all day with only 1 kilowatt, CFRX Toronto on 6070. I heard another surprise program not on the WBC's Q schedule, UT Saturday, July 20th, starting at 0200, or maybe it was also on earlier, on 5130.4, is called 100 Watts and a Wire, with an equivalent website by that name, with the figure 100. Apparently it's ham radio oriented. This was originally a podcast for the past 4 years and nothing on its website yet about being on WBCQ. I'm noticing that all three frequencies currently in use by the number one transmitter at WWCR are squealing. That is, when the signal is strong enough to tell. 15825, 6115, and 3215. I wonder when they're going to fix that. If George McClintock were available, he knows what's wrong and what to do. 730 is an intriguing medium-wave DX frequency with a couple dozen American stations, but none legally running more than 1,000 watts at night. Many of them are less than 100 or even less than 10 watts. In fact, there's only one running a full kilowatt, KQPN in West Memphis, Arkansas. That's because 730 is a Canadian and Mexican clear channel. There are only three full-power Canadians and one 100 kilowatts from Mexico City XCX, which used to be dominant, but I suspect it's been downgraded. At least I'm not hearing it now, because as I tune in, I'm hearing ESPN from Charlotte, North Carolina on 730, July 19th at 0600 UT. That's WZGV, actually in the suburb of Cramerton, listed with 165 watts at night, although 10 kilowatts in the daytime. If you've noticed any difference in your reception of WBBM 780 Chicago, a big change was made. According to Dan Goldfarb in the Medium Wave Mass group, Scott Feibisch confirms that they were closing the Itasca transmitter site as of June 30th, and around July 1st started sharing with WSCR at Bloomingdale 670. The very tall mast and tower at Itasca was demolished with great speed so that commercial development could begin on that valuable plot of land. For some reason, this also involved a change from their exact power levels of 50 kilowatts day and night. Now it's only 35 kilowatts day, 42 kilowatts night, but still always non-directional. In the ABDX group, Joe Miller in Desert Hot Springs, California, reports a couple of local FM stations which are unlisted. The Oasis on 96.9, apparently in nearby Palm Springs. He listened for about 20 minutes with smooth jazz and IDs as theoasis.com. The website says they are internet only, but not listed by the FCC. Furthermore, on 87.9 in Palm Springs, mostly soul music identifying as KWIR, but it's not listed by FCC either. Scott Feibisch replies, looks like they are both pirates. 96.9 is way too close to KUNA on 96.7, and of course 87.9 is not a usable FM channel legally. Checking out the expanded Vatican radio relay via Grimesland, North Carolina on 7305. July 20th at 0145 in Spanish, Vatican news was ending with contact info, but then immediately restarting Vatican news in Spanish. It seems like they're actually playing the same 15-minute program twice in a row to fill the doubled airtime. In any event, they are violating separation of church and state. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Harold Froge comments on tuning knobless car radios. My new GMC Terrain radio has no tuning knob, a pox on their house. If you hit the left down frequency or right up frequency arrows, it will jump to the nearest strong station. If you hit tune, a panel comes up where you can punch in a frequency. But if you hit tune and then an arrow, it will step to the next frequency regardless of strength. If you want to see any RDS display, you must exit the punch-in display by hitting the X in the upper right corner. A tuning knob would make this all so much simpler. I have informed GM thusly, also that I want a car with a key start. And here from Russ DX, originating with onair.ru in imperfect machine translation. A contender for a ton of cement carried the office of Radio Express. Presenters were looking for a person on the air who would receive a ton of cement as a gift. But something went wrong. One of the contestants broke the TV in the office of the Penza Radio Express. In order to compete for a ton of cement, Penzans had to get on the air, talk to the presenters, and then come to the Express shopping mall to complete the tasks from the test bag. Someone tried to buy pink cement. Someone collected signatures. Someone wrote down appeals to friends. Today, the last participant arrived at the studio, who got an empty sheet. By pure chance, the radio turned out to be a stick with the puck of the presenter, Alexei Nechayev, which ultimately served as an idea for the test, said Dmitry Linkov, editor-in-chief of Radio Express. He added that the task of the applicant for a ton of cement was to hit the toy man with a puck at a distance of 3 meters. He missed a little bit and hit the TV, which everyone loved on the Express. As a result, in order not to shed tears and try to find the culprits, Alexei Nechayev threw him out of the balcony, shared Dmitry Linkov. It is noted this week 3 participants will face new tests, and afterwards the presenters will name the owner of a ton of cement from Radio Express. Remember when I used to quote F.K. Yanda of the Czech Propagation Interest Group on Media Network Plus? Well, here he is again, because this was posted via Mike Terry in the ARRL Propagation Report. The geomagnetic field will be quiet on August 2nd, 3rd, 8th, 13th, and 14th. Quiet to unsettled, July 26th, 27th, 29th, 30th, 31st, August 1st, 4th, and 9th. Quiet to active, August 7th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. Unsettled to active, July 28th, August 5th, and 6th. ARRL also quotes spaceweather.com that so far in this calendar year, 64% of all days were without sunspots. Last year, the total number of spotless days was 61%. In 2017, 28%. In 2016, 9%. And 2011 to 2015, 0 days were spotless, except for 2 days in 2011 and 1 day in 2014. Earlier, I mentioned my sporadic EFMDX from Canada, Mexico, and even Michigan. Via Mike Terry and an item in Southgate, here's a reference to a very good website explaining the basic facts about sporadic E. It's a very long URL, so please take note of the hyphens, dots, and slants, and it's all lowercase. https://www.electronics-notes.com/articles/antennas-propagation/ionospheric/sporadic-e-es.php. It begins this way. Many of the mechanisms behind it are not well understood. Sporadic E arises when clouds of intense ionization occur in the E region of the ionosphere. Initially, these will affect the lower frequency bands, and it can produce openings on 10 meters, and as the frequency rises, 6, 4, and occasionally 2 meters may be affected. When 2 meters is affected, openings are often quite short, an hour or two is long, but openings of a few minutes only are known. During the course of an opening, the direction of the propagation can change significantly as the ionization clouds are blown about by the winds in the upper atmosphere. Of course, that's amateur-oriented, but it certainly applies to the lower TV channels and the FM broadcast band as well. The short-term, mostly HF propagation outlook from Boulder, issued July 22nd. Geomagnetic field, unsettled to active, August 5th and 6th, due to recurrent coronal hole high-speed streams. Quiet to unsettles for the remainder of the period. ANK indices only 5 and 2 or 8 and 3, except for a peak to 15 and 4, August 5th and 6th. Solar flux still stuck at only 67 for the entire period, at least, through August 17th. And that's World of Radio 1992. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week, starting and ending with a standard disclaimer.